In Isaiah 45, verse 18, it's been a while since we tried to complete this because I took a couple of detours and I was in Alabama last week. But it says, "For thus says the Lord in 45 and 18, who created the heavens." You know, I've continually said this to you, that God continually reemphasizes that He's the Creator. We can never back away from that. "For thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited." Hear that? It formed it to be inhabited. There was a mining guy who worked for the federal government years ago in the circle we were talking about, and we were talking about the arrogance. I tell you, there's a strong arrogance for people who think that we can control the weather. You have to be really arrogant to think that you and I can control the weather. I've always said for years, that's the one place God lets us know who the boss still is, weather. He can send a snowstorm, shut everything down, send a hurricane or whatever. But this miner, this federal guy who's worked for the mine, he was a Christian, and he was the enforcer of a lot of regulations and stuff. He said, "I know you all get frustrated when you see me coming," and this and other, because of, he said, "but I'm going to tell you something." He said, "we can't destroy the earth." He said, "the earth don't belong to us." He said, "it belongs to God." He said, "he's got the deed." He said, and he was a Christian. He said, "I've read the end of the book. Man don't destroy the earth. God destroys it himself." Now, what we're seeing, this trouble and stuff, these are things I think cranking up. And because to me, here's what you got to realize. And some of you have heard me teach Revelation at least once, maybe twice, and it's on the podcast if you want it again. But what's got my attention now is all the big players in the end of the time are the ones that are on the stage right now. China, Russia, the Middle East, Gomer. All those players are starting to shake their hair and get out of the shower, so to speak. Get ready. They're stepping on the stage. And so this kind of stuff right here that we're seeing can start wars. This battle over the oil prices and for food supply, if the food supply starts getting short, that kind of stuff can start wars. So, yeah, that's right. And Iran's being wiped out with this stuff, just like Italy. I mean, So it's like God's shaking the whole earth, and these players that are supposed to come out at this time are coming out. They're ventriloquists because God's the one's in charge, right? But they're coming out on the platform. That's what's got my attention for the day we're living in. He says, "I'm the Lord, there is no other. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I have not spoken in secret in the dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come and draw near together." Well, that's a good word, ain't it? Because they're telling us not to do that. "Assemble yourselves, come, draw near together. You have escaped from the nations. They have no knowledge, who carry the wood of their carved image. They pray to a God that cannot save. Tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has told it from time? Have not I the Lord? Is there no other God besides me? A just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Look to me and be saved." I mean, how much encouragement do we get all through the Scripture of God saying, "look to me, trust in me, count on me"? And we say it every week. Some trust in chariots and horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord. Now it's time for us to walk that out, right? It can't just be a slogan. It's got to be who we are. You and I have witnessed is how fear governs people. It controls them, and it governs their whole life. He says, "For I am the God, there is no other. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall take an oath." And that's basically where Romans, we quote that from Romans, "every knee bow, every tongue confess." He shall say, "Surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength." That's us. surely in God. All the promises are yes and amen in Him. And like I said Sunday, the promises, even the psalm we read, Psalm 91, some of that's prophetic about Jesus coming. But now I'm in Him. So all those things are freely given to me because I'm in Him. I've been born again. I've been placed in Him. To Him men shall come and shall not be ashamed who are increased against Him. In the Lord all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. Baal bows down. That's a false god. Nebo stoops. Their idols were on the beast and on the cattle. Your carriages were heavily loaded, a burden to the weary beast. They stoop, they bow down together. They could not deliver the burden, but have themselves gone into captivity. Listen to me, O house of Jacob. This is God's people, so He's talking to us. And the remnant of the house of Israel, who have been upheld by me from birth. Do you think you could have made it this far, or I could have made it this far without God's help? Well, none of us would have been here tonight. Phooey on a virus, anything else could have taken us out if God had not had His hand on us. He had His hand on us and brought us this far. And you're going as far as you're supposed to go in your life. Your days have been numbered. God's going to give them all to you unless you get in rebellion, start doing your own thing. You can cut your life short. But God, you're going to run that course. It doesn't matter if there's a lion in the street. It doesn't matter if there's a virus on this side of the building, a disease on that side of the building, and the devil's flying up above. It doesn't matter. If God, your appointed time, you're going to be here. Who have been upheld by me from birth, who have been carried from the womb, even to your old age, I am He. Even to the gray hairs I will carry you. What a good word for all of us. It was worth you coming out tonight to get that word right there. When everybody is running in fear in our world, God says to us, we are His people, He's saying, listen, all the remnant, I've upheld you from birth, I've carried you from the womb, and that's a word for grace. Even to your old age I am He, and even to gray hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear you. Man, we ought to be rejoicing right there at those kind of words given to us. I have made and I will bear you. Even I will carry and will deliver you. Somebody say amen. Amen. Amen to that. I will deliver you. What will He deliver us from? From the snare of the fowler. What did we preach Sunday? From the pestilence and the disease. He said 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 will fall, but it will not come near you. Those are the kind of promises God offers us for us to lay hold of. We got to mix our faith. He says, I will carry you, deliver you. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? In other words, God's saying, ain't nobody like me. Nobody can do this for you but me. And compare me to what should be alike, the lavish gold out of a bag? Is that compared to me? But it is for some people, right? Some people, money's so important to them, they don't even follow God. Right? Their money's their whole life. He says, weigh silver on the scales and hire a goldsmith, and he makes it a god. Now they make an idol out of it. Some people's, they have idols out of all kinds. We have false idols, of course, from false religions, but you can make an idol out of anything. Some people give themselves the things that are, and that becomes an idol in their life. They prostrate themselves. Yes, they worship. They bear it on the shoulder. They carry it. They set it in place. It stands from its place. It shall not move. Though one cries out to it, yet it cannot answer, nor save him out of his trouble. That's why God keeps emphasizing, I'm the Creator. I made you. I made the earth. I made the heaven. I carried you this far. Why would you walk off from me and start looking to something else? And He says that, and not just that, because here's our problem, even in the church. Some people trust in men. God said, I don't want you to be trusting in men either. I want you to trust in me. That's what God's saying. Some people say, well, I don't worship an idol, but they trust in men. They trust in people. We're not supposed to trust in that either. We're supposed to trust in the Lord. Men are made of dust. The psalmist lays it out great. Men are made of dust. And he says, this is good stuff, isn't it? Everybody say it's good stuff, man. Say it's good stuff, preacher. So the idols, they can't do anything. Now, I'm going to reflect on this, and then I'll finish this chapter before we quit. But you remember when Elijah was with the prophets of Baal, and the prophets of Baal worship false gods, Baal, obviously. And Elijah was worshiping the only true God, and so he's sitting up there. I think he was in a tree at first, wasn't he, when they come by? And so they won't have a contest, and Elijah's in on it. So they have this place where they sacrifice, and they call out to Baal, this false god, and probably other false gods. Well, to deceive the people, some of you heard me talk about this, they had fire tunnels. And so these priests would be there, and they would be calling from fire from these false gods. And somebody who was unbeknownst to the people would run fire up that tunnel, right? So when they called at the right time, the fire was a great deception to the people because they thought Baal was really a god because they had fire tunnels. Well, when they were trying to do that, God had shut all that down. Elijah had orchestrated all that. They started to cut themselves and all that. And Elijah was saying, well, in the Hebrew it says this. He says, maybe your God's on vacation. That's what it says in the Hebrew when Elijah said. He says three statements. He says, maybe your God's on vacation. Maybe he's taking a nap. Or maybe he's in the bathroom. That's what he's trying to say to them. Well, they're going nuts. They're just trying to cut themselves, whatever. And so he floods the whole place before he calls for fire. Because God was trying to witness to those priests. Those priests knew there were fire tunnels. And that's how they deceived those false priests. And so God, when he had Elijah fill up it with water, those false priests, when he called for fire and the fire came, they knew it didn't come through those tunnels. See, that's how good God is. God was even witnessing to the knuckleheads, trying to show them love, trying to show them he's God. You know, that's what all of he did in Egypt was about, to prove himself to his own people, to get them stirred up, but also to prove to the Egyptians that he was God. And the Bible, a lot of people miss this in one of the Psalms, but it says that many of the Egyptians believed. And I was probably the ones that gave all their jewelry and their money to the Israelites on the way out. Said, here, we're going to bless you when you leave. But it said many of the Egyptians. So a lot of those people who were under paganism believed on the true God because God showed up and did all he did. This thing about plagues and things that we see in Revelation, what we're facing now, God, that's the word he gave me. He's going to be working in the middle of this. There's going to be people coming to Christ. There's going to be people have their eyes open. There's going to be people that realize their chariots and horses aren't working anymore. And they're going to have to call on the Lord. So that's what happened with Elijah. He says, remember this and show yourselves men. Recall to mind, O you transgressors, remember the former things of old. For I am God, there is no other. I am God, and there's none like me. That's just plain talk, isn't it? Declaring the end from the beginning. He says, I know what's going to happen at the end, right at the beginning. Man, that gives me such confidence. It gives me such faith. And I hope and believe, actually, that if we were standing here tonight, not with the virus, but because the West Coast or some city in our country had gotten hit with a nuclear bomb, I hope I'd be standing right here, and I believe I would tell you the same thing I'm telling you right now. Doesn't matter what the situation is, because my God don't change. And he's in charge of everything. So it doesn't matter. He says, declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, things that are not yet done. One of the titles that God has is Ancient of Days. I like that title because I just can envision him showing up with this big, beautiful silver beard and just the Ancient of Days, full of strength like he's a 21-year-old man, but he's still the Ancient of Days, you know. Declaring, notice I didn't say 53, that's what I am. Declaring the end from the beginning, from the ancient times, things, saying, my counsel shall stand. Whatever God says will stand. Who will have what God says? Those who lay their lives into it and believe it. God's word's real and true, and it'll always stand. Well, who's going to get the benefit of that? The ones of us that say, I believe it and I'm giving myself to it. We're going to be the ones that get it. He says, say, my counsel sent, I'm my pleasure calling a bird of prey from the east, a man who executes my counsel from a far country. Indeed, I have spoken, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. And he's bringing up Cyrus again. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted who are far from righteousness. I like that line, don't you? It's a good line. Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted who are far from righteousness. I will bring my righteousness near It shall not be far off. My salvation shall not linger. And I will place salvation in Zion for Israel, my glory. You know what? We've been grafted into the same tree. That's what salvation's done for us. Some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we trust in the name of the Lord. Let's pray for our nation. Let's pray for our church, our people. Let's pray for our state. Let's pray for our world. Amen. Lord, we thank you for this privilege we have to be gathered together. You said where two or three are gathered, you'll be there in a minute. So I just pray a special blessing on those people that are here tonight and were here last night. Whatever they got going on, heal them. Financial miracle, whatever they need, Lord, step into their lives. Show them your love. We're hanging in there with you, God, and we trust in you. And I'm praying for special blessings and miracles to fall on people who really keep the faith during this time. Let it speak to all of us, Lord, and let us be your people. In a dark world, let us be the lights you've called us to be. In Jesus' name.